The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike, but if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. That didn't work.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Figured something was up. I've been
good on for... evening, Para-X. It is 7:02 because I was a little behind and still am. But you're listening to the Odyssey Files. I'm your host, Michael O'Neill. You heard at the very, very beginning when we came on the air, my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. Good evening, Dave.
How are you, Mike?
it's. I've been really, really excited.
Yep.
About this show, and yep. Rightfully so.
Yep.
And so all day today. So I work nights and sleep all day. So all day I've just been having crazy dreams about not being ready for the show. But it was like all surrounding like clothes, like I could never get dressed for some reason, and I seriously had a dream this afternoon about pulling up into somebody's house, and our guest tonight, Miss Katrina Weedman, who will be on here shortly, was already there. So I'm just sitting, and I got out of the car, and all of a sudden I'm shirtless, like I don't have a shirt on, and I did when I. Like got in the car and so I don't know. And lo and behold, here I am at 7:03. I'm completely not ready. It's like 7:07 and 7 o'clock and 2 seconds. And I'm just throwing the stuff into the queue for all of like the promos and stuff. And I got a 1/10 eaten TV dinner sitting next to me because I haven't been able to eat yet. And yeah, so
you do have a shirt on though. So
I do have a shirt on.
Yeah.
I got dressed just fine.
Yeah, that's good.
That was not an issue, but, my timing has been, atrocious. So now I say our guest tonight is Katrina Weedman. Now, because of her schedule, she's not gonna be able to be on until 7:15. Central time. So we have a few minutes before, yep. Before I can officially, call her. So I need to bring that up because, there's been a small change of plans. She had a small emergency. And so we were going to do a Skype interview like normal. And now we have to, call on, I get to use the Skype subscription that I pay, dearly for every year.
Nice.
Yes. So while I'm setting that up, Dave, why don't you tell me something that's going on with you?
Well, let's see. It's Monday. It's raining and, well, it was raining anyway. And work was so-so. But I am excited. I'm excited for our guest tonight.
Yes,
I think it's going to be very interesting to dig into a conversation with her. I know we've been looking forward to having her on for, I would say the better part of the last, 10, 12 months probably?
I was going to say since the second show.
The inception
of the show.
Yeah, I know. She was on definitely on the top. She definitely was on the top of the list when we sat down and originally started thinking of who we really wanted to have on the show as a guest. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to include, obviously, like Grant Wilson. And
right. And Chip.
And John Zaffis. And
Chris.
I would almost consider like the holy grail of the paranormal interview, which at some point in time, people, mark my words, I will get unless something unforeseen happens, and that is Miss Lorraine Warren.
Yeah,
I will have that interview.
Yeah, she actually was the top of the list. No offense to anybody else, but she was the top of the list. So, and I think partially because of the respect, I mean, the overwhelming amount of respect that you and I both have for her, and also the fact that she's been around helping hundreds and hundreds of people for a very long time. And she seems to not have any concern for herself and is always willing to sacrifice whatever she needs to help people out. And exactly. She's a wonderful person.
Which I think is one thing that all of our guests have in common. They all have that in common where they at least try. They've made it their goal, their passion to go out and help people and further the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And even better, which we didn't even know until we interviewed him, was Dustin Perry, and found out what a great job he's doing with anti-bullying campaigns in schools and stuff like that. And that was wonderful. I mean, that was something that we learned during the interview. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic that he was taking his, TV fame and paranormal fame and actually using that to springboard into something else.
100%.
Yep.
So we only get 45 minutes with Katrina, but she has already said that we can schedule another one. So I'm thinking for tonight, Dave, that beyond the getting to know Katrina Weidman.
Right.
See, I think we should, and anybody in the chat room or whatever can, if they have a question that they would like to us to ask, but I think we should stick to paranormal lockdown, because I know you and I both have a lot of questions that deal with that. And time is going to fly.
Oh yeah, time will fly.
When it comes to how the stories that we get to here.
Right.
So with the 7 minutes that we have left, since this is going to go straight to the end of the show without any sort. So in 2 weeks, well, a little less than 2 weeks now, like 10 days,
10 days. Yeah.
10 days. Dave and I will be at Paracon why do you look so excited, Dave?
I am excited.
you just kind of was like, meh. Yeah.
No, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm totally excited. Fantastic time last year. I don't expect anything less this year. So,
no, I'm going to try to avoid, but I don't know if I'll be able to. A couple arguments, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I am quite stubborn in that way. But this year is going to be, I think, an even better lineup than last year. Especially since, I mean, obviously we have Grant Wilson, Elizabeth Saint, Nick Groff, John Zaffis. I'm told, I haven't looked at the poster yet, but Jim tells me that they've added Ryder and Jael.
I heard Ryder was going to be there, yep.
And then he also mentioned Jael from, obviously, Factor Faked, and she was on with Destination Truth at the time.
Right.
I would like to meet those two. I think that would be pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Chip Coffee.
Yep.
Am I missing anybody?
Not off the top of my head.
Unless
Josh is going to show up this year since he missed last year, maybe he'll just make a surprise appearance.
That would be sweet.
That would be very sweet, yeah.
But unfortunately, I don't think that's in the cards.
No, probably not.
But former guest of the show, friend of the show, Dean McMurray, will be there as well.
Yep, there you go.
He was there last year, which kind of, you know, I didn't know him at the time. Obviously, he wasn't on the show. But, yeah, it's if you have a chance to go, and you can see us, because as Dave can probably confirm, I'm a go big or go home type person.
Yeah.
And so I bought two booths, one for my Twin Cities team, one for my Dubuque team, which will be right next to each other. And that it's going to have all of our equipment out there. It's going to have a station for best EVPs. It's going to have a station for our best video. I'll be posting. I'll have another TV for that's going to run the Paranormal Project in loop, including three new episodes, which haven't been seen yet. Nice. So, it's going to be a huge booth. It's not going to just be like, hey, we're going to sit here, and if you want to ask us some questions, that's fine. This is an interactive booth.
Yeah.
So,
as it should be. Entertaining, yes. Right?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I suppose when it comes to Paracon, yes, I do not mind being a paranormal entertainer.
Right.
So it's going to be pretty sweet, and you can come obviously meet Dave and I, and yep. See evidence of our other life in the paranormal, which is the investigator side.
Right. Which we have some pretty darn good evidence.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, especially, and I don't know, maybe it has to do with the untapped untapped energy or whatever, but the video off the Dubuque side of things is unreal.
Yeah.
It is unreal and unmatched in what I've encountered. I'm going to make a little montage of that. So I'm going to try to, well, we're going to go to commercial actually.
I was going to say, get commercials out of the way so that we don't have to do that while we have her live.
Well, yeah, of course not. And I figured out, I asked Rebecca, Dave,
yeah,
how to turn off all the commercials and stuff in my ear, so I'll actually be able to hear what people are saying while the commercials are still playing.
Yay!
I know. I'll actually be able to be part of the conversation instead of just sitting there with twiddling my thumbs while you behind me.
Very nice.
Yes. Plus, I don't need to hear another promo for The Calling. no offense to Jerry, but no, I don't need to hear it for like the 13,000th time.
No.
But everybody else can. So. Hopefully, when we come back from this commercial break, we will have Miss Katrina Weedman with us. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
Oh, I'm just on the call. Just think if you listen to the words of Para X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go. shall I do?
Frankly, my dear.
Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Yeah.
Great. And we're back. And with us, thankfully, yes, it happened. She's here. Miss Katrina Weedman. Good evening, Katrina.
How are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Great. Wonderful. Dave, and over the last 15 minutes, Dave and I have been talking about how when we first thought of the show and wanted the list of guests that we had, that you were pretty near the top, especially for me. I don't say this often because I consider a lot of the even the TV people, especially when they're investigators, I consider them colleagues since Dave and I are both investigators. But been a fan of yours. I can say that.
Oh,
I have been a fan of yours since the Paranormal State days. Thank you. So one of the things that I typically don't go into, I like to learn and be part of the learning process as our guests are kind of going over their history and stuff like that. But I did go to your page and your Wikipedia page. Did you know you had a Wikipedia page?
A friend just told me about that because for years I didn't. I wasn't like, you know, even though I was doing this for like 12 years, you know, people were like, eh. So finally I have a Wikipedia page. Yeah, but last time I saw it was like months ago, so I don't even know what's on there. Hopefully nothing bad.
No. And in fact, if I hit submit here, you're 6'2" and third in line for the Crown of England.
Well, that's what I've been telling people, so that's good.
and if it's on Wikipedia, it's true.
Exactly, right? Every book report's done from Wikipedia now.
Yeah, and that's funny because you don't look a tad over 6'1". 6'2", I don't know. It's kind of blowing me away. 6'1", I can see. 6'2". It's got to be the platforms or something. Yeah.
But there is something on the Wikipedia page I'm going to get to later because I thought I didn't know. Ooh. I thought it was hilarious. I would like to hear how you got involved with the paranormal and especially PRS at Penn State.
Yeah. So, I have a pretty, I think I have the stereotypical, ghost hunter story, basically, is that, you know, I grew up in haunted houses. And I had a lot of experiences growing up, and it left me with a lot of questions. And, you know, my mom was pretty embracing of it for the most part. But then she would also have moments where she's like, oh, that's nothing. Like, you know, or, oh, you know, that happens to people. It's not paranormal. You know, and it was just, really frustrating, I think. I found myself in this, kind of frustrating spot where I knew these things were happening. And it was like I was kind of being believed, but not fully believed. And, you know, it was just this weird spot to be in. So when I went away to college, I remember my aunt, she's always had experiences, just really crazy. I would definitely call her a psychic, and I don't use that word lightly. But she's just had a lot of crazy experiences her whole life. And she had suggested to me, she's like, you know, now that you're at college, you should, you know, find out if they have like a paranormal club to join. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So I remember I was like in my room and looking at my computer, and I was searching the clubs on the Penn State website, and lo and behold, they had a paranormal one. So I went to that, and I went to one meeting, and I had to drop out of the club after that for a year and a half, 2 years, because I had just transferred to Penn State, and all this horrible stuff happened within the first month of me being there. I sprained my ankle really, really bad, the worst sprain you can get on an ankle. My house got broken into. I had this horrible 3-week sinus infection. And I was also a double major. So I was like, you know, maybe I need to kind of step back from the extracurricular activities right now and kind of focus on everything going on. And so I went back and I put in an application to go through their investigator training. And at the same time, they were also having, I mean, they call them auditions, but they're not auditions. They're just basically like, can you be in front of a camera and like not be a weirdo kind of thing? Like, can you actually communicate your thoughts and, you know, in an effective way? And so I went in and I met with like, you know, the team and everything, and graduated the training course and started working with PRS. So it was a very interesting thing, because it was like literally it's like right time, right place kind of situation that happened there.
So you, when you first joined the team, that was right when the concept of the show was starting.
About, yeah, I know they had filmed the pilot. I was not involved with that, and I didn't. I had gone to the meeting before they filmed the pilot. That was like, you know, a year and a half before that. So I had like met Ryan. I had met, you know, a couple of the people that were on the show, like Elfie. But then when I went back, they had filmed the pilot. And I guess, I don't know if they knew right when I went back that they were going to get picked up for a show, but it was around that same time period where they found out.
Nice. There is a question, and I said that I was going to skip over Paris Day. Now I can't, but...
Oh, okay.
But dang it, I have a question. Now, with you being a double major, and I, mm-hmm. I didn't come into the show till probably third or fourth season, but I've seen every episode, I believe, since. And I always wondered, how did you guys keep up on your studies? Because you were at like cases, yeah. Like 5 days in a row. And I'm like,
yeah.
You're flying all at Las Vegas, California, Texas. Well, like you're going all, how do you keep up on your studies?
Yeah, it was really tough. Because my majors too, I was a, my first major is technically integrative arts, and it's where you work with your advisor to make your own major in the arts. And I did music production. And then my second major is in theater performance. So they're both majors that require, you need rehearsal time, you need studio time, you know, you have to coordinate with the people you're collaborating with. So it's not just, you know, I can like really work on my own for a lot of this. So that was definitely tough. But luckily, I had really great professors who, you know, saw what an awesome opportunity this could be. And they were really supportive to work with me, except, and I still hold like a grudge against this one, but she was my Shakespeare teacher. And it was the last class I needed to graduate. And that was it, to finish my degrees. And she was like threatening to fail me because of, I was missing so many classes and I was trying to keep up, but it was obviously hard. And I would go to her and I was like, listen, I'm so sorry, but you know, we're like, you know, we're traveling so much and we're trying to do this. Cause it was basically like a full-time job at the same time going to school full-time. And, it was definitely tough and challenging. And, I like narrowly passed that class. So, it almost didn't happen. I almost didn't graduate when I graduated because of that one class.
Wow. But I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Who really needs Shakespeare?
Doesn't happen. What's that?
I said, who really needs Shakespeare?
Right. I guess. I don't know. Theater major. My theater colleagues would disagree heavily. So, no, but, I mean, like,
I know.
Shakespeare's cool, but it's just, yeah, they just weren't, she was not having any of my, I guess, excuses is what she would call them.
Wow.
Yeah,
you should have just told her. You should have just told her. You know what? If I don't pass this class, maybe I'll just accidentally bring something back with me and drop it off in your classroom.
Right. Yeah.
You know, just put the fear of God in her. You know.
Yeah. Yep. This case has potential demonic activity. I will bring it to your doorstep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna drop it off. So.
That was like, I mean, I have a lot of questions about Paranormal State, but that was the one that
has
always been in my mind, is how all of you guys were able to keep up with your studies.
It was definitely tough.
Getting into the lockdown.
Yeah.
Now I can completely understand, people that have been on previous paranormal shows coming back for a new show, and then, you know, they bring in like new people. you know, I don't want to say supporting cast, but, you know, the featured person obviously is the one that everybody knows. So it was an absolute shock to me to see two people from two different shows, which really had like no interaction with each other, put together for this one. Was that either your or Nick's idea, or was it like a producer came to the both of you and asked, we have this idea, we're wondering if you're interested?
It was, so Nick put the show together with his cousin he works very closely with, and they do a lot of productions together. So they put the show together, and I know that they were looking for a co-host for him. And I guess like everyone he was talking to either wasn't interested or it just wasn't the right fit for whatever reason. And it was funny because I briefly worked on Ghost Adventures years ago, but I never met him and I never even spoke to Nick. But I did work with his cousin briefly. And, you know, me and his cousin had some conversations, you know, just on like a business level. And when it came time, when they were looking around for people, my name just kept coming up in conversation. And then his cousin was like, yeah, you know, I worked with her. You know, maybe we should look at her. And it was funny because the timing of it was just, it was so interesting. And I've found this happen so much in my life, and I'm sure you guys can relate, that it's almost like the universe like guides you in the right path if you're not on it. And I was working on another project at the time, and in my gut, I just knew it wasn't right. But it was kind of like, you know, square peg, round hole. I'm like, I'm going to make it work, you know, because I had spent so much time on it. And I remember I went outside and I kind of just had like my defeated moment with that project. And it was like a very dramatic moment I was having with myself. And I went outside and I looked up at the sky and I just sort of said to my higher power, I'm like, I just, you know, I feel like this isn't right. If it's not right, give me a sign, just anything tangible like that I can like kind of hang my hat on, that I know I'm on the right path if I leave. And I walked like 10 feet in my yard and I found a five leaf clover and a six leaf clover. And the very next day, I got a cold email from Nick, and then he cold called me that afternoon. And he was just like, hey, what are you up to? And I was just like, yeah. And we ended up talking for like 2 hours, and it felt like we were long lost brother and sister. And it was funny because our second conversation, we both said that to each other, where it's like, it feels like we've known each other like forever, like old college buddies, that kind of, you know, relationship. And so it just felt really right to work with each other on this project. And, you know, when he was telling me about the concept, it was a no-brainer, because that's what we do. That as paranormal investigators, that's absolutely what we do. And on Paranormal State, we did it, but they didn't like focus on that. There's some episodes where we're like, I think the bar episode, you know, we're all sleeping on the floor there. But we would pop in and out, you know, throughout the investigation. And with lockdown, what I loved about it is that, you know, we try to call on paranormal activity, but it's not guaranteed for obvious reasons. But the longer you're there, the more you embed yourself in that location, you're just upping the probability to capture it. And, Nick and I both felt really strongly about it. So it just made a lot of sense to do this together. And I think we've had a lot of fun doing it. I mean, it's definitely hard. These are hard investigations to pull off, but they're definitely worth it in the end.
So one of the questions that I had for you, kind of my major question, was, can you kind of, so it's kind of a long question, so I'll throw the whole thing out there and then we'll kind of tackle it. So I look at like a standard investigation. If you go to someone's house or you go to check something out, a standard investigation is usually, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 4 to 6 hours. And then you're doing a lockdown investigation where you're literally there for 48 hours, right?
72.
Okay. Yeah. So can you tell us kind of the what's better from one to the other, or what's better and what's worse, I guess, for being at a location that long?
Yeah. So it's tough. And I think it would really depend, like if somebody's like looking to do that, I think it depends on, you know, are you working with clients? Is it just a location? You know, all that stuff I think has to be factored into it. The benefits I've seen of doing this has been absolutely, you're embedding yourself in that location and you're upping the probability to capture things. Because when you think about it, when you go to a client and you're talking to them about the experiences they've had, not once have I ever heard a client say to me, well, I was sitting here in the dark asking for this thing to show itself. And then, like, you know, that it just doesn't happen. They're going about their normal routine. They're like, I was helping my daughter with homework, and all of a sudden something pulled my hair. You know, so it's kind of the same concept of lockdown, just like, you know, just be in that environment, experience it for all that it is. And I've definitely seen that happen, that the longer we're there, it's like you're establishing this relationship with whatever energy is in that space. And it's funny because Nick and I always had a joke that it's like the first night is usually really dead. It's like really rare to get a first night interaction with something where it's like, you know, not just like a little noise here or a little noise there. And I almost, kind of the analogy I use in my head is it's like when you walk into a pool of water, and you kind of push out all that water and you can see the ripples and it disturbs everything. And then once you're kind of settled in the water settles too. And I think the energy works the same way, because it's like, you know, we go in and it's almost like we disrupt things. We're bringing in our energy. We're bringing in a lot of different stuff with us. And I don't know if it's that, you know, whatever is there is kind of checking us out to make sure we're cool, or if it's just, you know, like what I said, we're just disturbing things in the space and it needs a little bit to settle down. But I do know the longer that we've been, and I would say this is true for every single location that we've done together, the longer we're there, absolutely, the more things happen, the more it intensifies, and the more we have a better chance of capturing it on film. So that's the benefits. The negatives, and I think the benefits outweigh the negatives, but the negatives is definitely like not showering, not sleeping, you know, living in these places where, I mean, Nick and I have both ended up extremely sick from living in these locations because there's mold, there's dust. I remember the one place, St. Ignatius, there was so much damage to that building, and I went to go blow my nose because I get like bad allergies, and I went to blow my nose, and a little cloud of dust came out of my nose, followed by blood.
Yeah. So
like, yeah, you know, it's like that's definitely the negative side of it. But as far as the paranormal goes, there really hasn't been a negative side.
Okay, because that was going to be a follow-up was, you know, do you feel like because you've been there for, you know, a longer period of time that you've ever felt threatened by anything if you've been in a location that's had purported negative activity?
Yeah, I think so. Especially the first one that jumps to me is Black Monk House in Hinsdale.
Yeah.
Black Monk House, again, you know, that activity just grew and intensified over the course of, we were there like 5 days, and because that one was 100 hours. And, you know, I got scratched when I was there, and that was like the scariest moment to me because I had never been scratched to the point where like I knew for sure there was nothing else that would have caused that. And that felt scary because to me, you know, it's one thing to see something with your eyes or it's one thing to hear a noise. But when something actually leaves a mark on your body, I mean, that just like blows anything that we know about science out the water.
Right.
You know, what can do that?
Right.
And that's a very scary thing, because how do you defend yourself against that? You don't even know what you're defending yourself against. We have really good thoughts, you know, but we don't know for sure at the end of the day. So that was a terrifying moment. So I think, like, to answer your question, yeah, there's been a couple of times where I felt more threatened the longer I've been there.
Has there? Oh,
no, I'm done. No, oh. Yeah.
Has there ever been a time then where it's gotten so bad, you're like, yeah, you know what? I really can't do this anymore.
I've never left because I'm too stubborn, which is probably a bad thing, but there have been times, two times I can think of right off the bat was, Anderson Hotel. There was a moment when Nick and I were in what they call the bloody mattress room, and we were in there, and I remember it was like I was drunk or something. I couldn't focus on anything he was saying. I couldn't like gather my thoughts. I felt just really just completely out of it. And I said to him, I'm like, I really need to step out of this room and kind of like collect myself. And that's the first time I've really ever had to do that. And then Black Monk House, after that scratch happened on my stomach, I wanted to cry. I don't know if people can tell in the episode, because I was like holding it back. Like, really, I'm like, I will not cry. I will not cry. But I really wanted just to break down. And it wasn't even like I felt, I don't know. It was just my stress response to the situation was that it was so scary of, you know, what the hell can do that to you? And you can't see it, right. You know, and I've heard it countless times from clients over the years. But when you experience it yourself, it takes on this whole other dimension, and it really, really crumbles any foundation you have. Because again, it goes back to everything we're taught in this world, this should not happen.
Right.
So, you know, it really does kind of blow your mind. And I did want to leave then, but I want it, you know, because again, I'm too stubborn. So, but I did want to go.
Do you, quick question. I'm just curious here. Otherwise it's going to escape my mind. When you do, you know, when you're doing the lockdowns, do you guys ever catch, or have you caught, evidence that couldn't make the episode due to it being inappropriate?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I'd have to, it's funny because I don't remember the investigations how people remember them. People remember the episodes. I remember the investigations.
Right.
So I'm like a little, it's funny, but I don't know. I'm like, am I the best source to answer that question? Because I can't remember what was put in the episodes versus what wasn't, as far as the evidence goes. Because I know, you know, I mean, we're there for 72 hours and so much gets left behind just because they, you know, you have 44 minutes to put this together. I don't know about inappropriate, but I do remember there was in St. Ignatius, and they had to cut most of this out because they just didn't have the time. But when I was downstairs, I was with the geoport, and it was by the kind of the check-in area where people would go to, you know, be like, oh, I'm sick, I need to check in. I was having like a full-on conversation with someone through the geoport, and it was like really quiet. And then I was like, you know, let me role play a little bit. So I pretended that like I was a nurse. And once I did that, this male voice came through and he started saying things like, I was like, well, what's your birthday? And I would get a number. I was like, how old are you? And get a number. I'd say, well, you need to go upstairs and see the man. Well, why do I need to see him? Would be the answer. And it went on for, I don't know. I mean, it felt like, you know, forever to me, but it must've been like 10 minutes. Of this intelligent conversation happening back and forth. And I remember that one specifically because when I found out it didn't make this episode, I was like, what? Why? That was so amazing. And they were just like, yeah, but there was so much stuff that happened on that episode. We just couldn't fit it in. So I know things like that have happened.
Cool.
Wow. Speaking as somebody who uses two different spirit boxes, not the geoport though, which I want, by the way. Those kind of conversations, especially with the same voice for that long, is almost unheard of.
It's really interesting.
I can't imagine what could have possibly been more important in that episode to overshadow that.
Yeah, we had a lot of great stuff in that episode. It was just so much stuff there that they just couldn't, you know, they just couldn't fit everything in there. And that just happens a lot sometimes, unfortunately. But
So am I right in saying that the producers and the editors and the director, who, if you have one, I'm not sure, they don't seek out like you and Nick for like your opinion on what should go in and what shouldn't?
Yeah. So Nick is an executive producer. So he has like final say in everything. And he's also, you know, he created the show and it's his production company. So, which is really great because, you know, Nick also went to film school. So he understands, you know, how to put together, investigations can kind of be a chaotic mess when you're there. And if we just showed that, it probably wouldn't make any sense to viewers at home. So he understands like how to make it, you know, make sense when it's in the final format. And, so he does. I know he watches all the final cuts and, you know, gives approval or not.
Well, kick him in.
Which is great because a lot of shows don't have that. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the way to do it. I mean, honestly, is to have control mm-hmm. over all of it versus what we've heard from previous guests are, no, you know, we said this is really important and it just got thrown on the floor, you know, and they said, no, we're going to go this direction. And they had no say so in the creative control process at all. So.
And I hear that too from colleagues. It's tough.
Yeah, it really is. But I do have a two-part question. first one being, so in my career, I can't say that I've ever been scared of an investigation or a location. But the one thing that, for whatever reason, terrifies me or makes me very, very, very anxious is the thought of sleeping in a haunted location. You and Nick obviously sleep in every location that you are, not once, but two times.
Yeah,
even kind of multiple times, because if we have like 20 minutes down, we might take a nap somewhere, you know. So
how do you settle yourself down to sleep, and how much sleep do you guys actually get?
Yeah, it's really hard because I still get scared. There was actually just an episode that was shown in the UK where it was this old orphanage, basically. And they had this hallway that they called the Naughty Boys Hallway. And it was this long hallway with tiny little closets on each side on the walls. And they would lock anybody who was naughty into these closets. And there was no air in these closets. You know, you could barely stand, you could barely sit. So it was like a horrible, horrible little place. And I slept up there. And I remember I was terrified to sleep up there. And that was one of the times I actually needed a pep talk. Before I went to bed, I called my fiance and I was just like, okay, all right. You gotta like pump me up for this because I'm terrified. And it comes down to, it's interesting because you kind of have to separate that from what you're doing as work. And, you know, there's two reasons why I calm myself down. One is because, you know, we're really fortunate when you have these opportunities, because one of the benefits of doing a television show is there's absolutely more funding involved. So a lot of these places, if you're in a paranormal group and you try to go to them, they are so ridiculously expensive to get into or to rent for the night that a lot of teams don't have the funding to do it. When you're attached to a television show, you do have the funding to do it. So it's a rare opportunity to get to explore those places. And I always look at it as, you know, it's our job to do this. You know, I have to do it. No, regardless of how I feel, I got to sit my butt in that bed. I have to fall asleep, you know, and just see what happens. If I'm vulnerable, will I experience something? Will it attach me to the place more? How does this all work? You know, the other side of it is, I mean, we've been conditioned to be scared of the paranormal. And so my question becomes, is there any real basis for that? And then it's also, you know, we think we know what the paranormal is, but I'm a believer in that we actually don't. I hate the word ghost. I don't think it explains everything in the field. And I just don't think it's an accurate word for the things going on. Although I believe in the possibility of ghosts, how we have them defined today. And I think there's enough case studies that we've seen in the field to suggest that, you know, that is an absolute phenomenon that happens, that somebody can die and somehow come back and communicate with us on a different level. But I think there's so much going on in the field that, you know, deserves exploration. And so that's kind of where my mind goes when I have to sleep and I'm terrified, is that, you know, there's so much yet to be discovered, and this is part of doing it. And, you know, my goal, I hope we see it in our lifetime, is that the field moves forward and maybe we start getting some of those answers.
Yeah, that's our goal too. Yeah.
100%. So second part of the question. So, it kind of goes right along with your energy and the pool ripples theory. And that is, you know, we had Chris Fleming on here a couple months ago, and he was talking about how when you're like focused and you're you kind of know who you are and what's going on in your life, and mm-hmm. you're really, really strong in that regards, that most spirits don't want to mess with you because it's not worth their time. It's too hard. So when you get in there for day one, you guys are very, very focused, and you know what you want to do throughout the weekend or throughout the 3 days that you were there. Do you think that because of the lack of sleep and because of you constantly being on edge and the adrenaline rush that comes from it, do you think that along with like the waves and you being in there and kind of them getting used to you being there, do you think that the lack of sleep and kind of you being able to not be as focused and want to, due to the lack of sleep, also helps you kind of be more in tune with them and what they want to do?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that one can go either way. I've had the most crazy experiences with the paranormal when I've been bored out of my skull. So it's like always at the point in the investigation where I'm like, ugh, nothing's happening. Like, just let me like wash my face and go to bed, you know? And even on Paranormal State, I noticed this. Craziest times I've ever had something happen is where I'm just bored. And I think it's because I'm getting relaxed. I'm getting comfortable. I'm not expecting anything. And I'm just really being in the environment. Because I think, you know, at that point, you're kind of putting yourself in some kind of meditative state. You know, if you're just sitting there bored and just like kind of zoning out a little bit. At the same time, though, I think the lack of sleep, depending on who you are, I think that could actually be a negative. Because if there is something nasty in there, they look for people that are weaker to prey on. And this is kind of like a consistent pattern we've seen with some places that, you know, if there's any kind of cracks in your personal foundation and then you go in there and you're making yourself even more vulnerable, then you could be opening up yourself for attachments of some kind or negative energy to, you know, kind of seep into your life. And so I think you have to be really, really careful if you're going to do it, because it could work for your benefit, but it could also work against you.
I think that's why I have such a difficult time bringing myself to be comfortable sleeping in an active location, because I'm from what I'm told, and I've actually never had it happen to me. It's much more easier for spirits to interact with you and mess with you when you're asleep. And I don't want that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, I don't think a lot of people do.
No, but I mean, Dave probably would, but.
Well, I was going to say the last time we were at an active location and we actually slept there, I just gave a little spiel before I laid down and I was like, okay, here's what's going to happen. Y'all want to come in here? You want to stand around the bed? You want to watch me sleep? Feel free to. I don't mind. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep like a baby for about 4 hours, and then we got to get on the road, drive 5 hours to get back home. So these 4 hours are mine. You want to come in here and visit and just come stand here and stand over me and watch me sleep? Fantastic. Come have a good time. It's going to be boring as hell, but if that's what you want, that's fantastic. I said, if not, go upstairs. Mike's upstairs. I know he's not going to sleep a wink. Go up there and mess with him.
Yeah, and I was the exact opposite. I was like, you stay away from me. Stay out of my room. The door is shut and locked.
It didn't bother me at all. I was like, you know, that's fine. I mean, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And I didn't have any issues sleeping. And I slept like a baby for like four and a half hours that night. And, you know, so.
I did too. I did too. So, but it always struck me as, cause I can remember there's been a couple times where you guys are, you know, they're showing the sleep, scenes, of you and Nick. And I like would scream at the TV. I'm like, are you nuts? I would never do that. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And I mean, do you tend to get that a lot from people that watch the show? Like, how can you do that?
My mother, especially, she's like, Katrina, what's wrong with you? And I'm just like, I don't know. But yeah, I get that a lot from people because it is tough. Like, it's, you know, it's one thing to go in there and kind of poke around, but, you know, to actually lie down, and especially, you know, Nick and I separate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we go to these locations that are just these huge locations, so we're not even in the realm of each other. You know, we're, you know, like Trans-Allegheny, for example, we were floors away from each other and on the opposite ends of the building. So if something happened to one of us, the other one would have no clue. You know, there's been episodes where two investigations, I think I slept outside. And there's been a couple where he slept outside. So again, you know, if something happens, you know, you're kind of like shit out of luck, you know, because we're not going to hear each other. But yeah, it is really scary. And I think a lot of people, it's hard to like imagine what that would be like, because, you know, again, we're taught not to do that. That's like the worst possible thing you can do. Every horror movie tells us not to do that, you know? So,
okay. So I just got to know it. And I imagine this would not make the cut for the show, but while either one of you have been sleeping, has anything happened to like jar you awake, frighten you, make you jump up and like freak out? Or has that been mostly your imagination or your preformed thoughts going into it? And then when you actually get comfortable and you actually do fall asleep, you sleep just fine.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, that's something Nick and I have talked a lot about, like, you know, trying to take your own thoughts out of the equation. So it's interesting because I'm a really heavy sleeper. So there's all these times, and Nick and I joke about this a lot, because there's all these times where things have happened to him when he's trying to go to bed. He hasn't been to bed yet, but he's trying to go to bed and all this crazy stuff will happen. And he'll be screaming for me. And I'm just, you know, sound asleep like a baby. And he's like, Katrina, help me. And I'm just like totally out, like no help to him whatsoever. But there was, I know for a fact, one time that I was woken up out of a deep sleep was the Oliver House in Massachusetts. I was sleeping in one of the, I think it was the kids' room, and I had fallen asleep in there, and they showed this on the episode. I woke up, and I like, it was like actually really creepy because I kind of shot straight up, and I like went to go reach for my feet, and I said, I made some noise like, huh, or like stop, or it was just some weird like little yell that I made. And I went back and I lied down. And I remember when that was happening, my thought was, I'm like, oh, somebody's playing with my feet. Like, knock it off. You know, like a brother or sister would tease you, that kind of thing.
Right. Yep.
And in my mind's eye, I saw like a female standing there. Again, that's in my mind's eye. So could that be something that I just kind of thought of, the mind's eye part? Sure. Absolutely. But you know, that part with the plane of the feet, I'm more inclined to think that that was actually happening because I had such a strong reaction to that.
Right. Yep.
Phenomenal. So we got about 6 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
So I know time just flies.
Yeah.
It flies. Yeah.
So I know, like I said, as much, I told you we should have done 2 hours, Katrina.
Yeah.
I know you have some projects coming up that you would like to talk about. So secretive, you wouldn't even give me advance notice of it. The rest of the show is yours to talk about those.
Okay. Well, I will just say there's some things that I can't speak of just yet. I know, isn't that, it's like always the way it is. But I know
we'll wait till after the show to talk about those.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know people ask a lot about Paranormal Lockdown airing in the U.S. And I just wanted to take a moment to address that real quick because, you know, I know a lot of people are upset and frustrated about it, which I completely understand and sympathize with because I know a lot of people have been, you know, supporting me for more than 12 years at this point. And I know it's the same for Nick. Nick and I started in the public genre, at least at the same time. So, you know, I just want people to know it's no disrespect to anybody who's been a fan of ours or has been supporting us. It's just, you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't make those calls as to when or where things air. All those decisions happen at the network. And, you know, everyone we work with at the network is amazing and wonderful. It's just sort of how this one played out this year. So, you know, as soon as we have any information whatsoever, we'll definitely post it And I know there's been like a lot of rumors I've been getting hit up about. And I would just say, you know, unless it's coming from me, Nick, or the network, I would chalk it up as a rumor. So with that said, though, there are a lot of other fun things coming up. October is kind of my fan appreciation month. And what I do is it's a really easy contest and you win prizes. And you just follow me on my social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. They're all at Katrina Weidman. And my last name is spelled W-E-I-D, man, like if you're getting carded somewhere. So it's really easy to find me on social media. And just randomly throughout the month of October, I'll do a little alert that this is a contest. And I randomly pick winners from people who participate. And I send you a prize. So this is my way of saying thank you, you know, for, you know, supporting my career and, you know, being there for all the 12 years that you guys have been there. So keep your eye on my social media for that. I also have a couple more events this year. I'll be in Michigan next weekend for Little Traverse Bay Parafest. And then in November, and there's still tickets for this, if anybody wants to come to the UK or my US fans or anybody who's listening from the UK right now, I will be at Sage Paracon in November. And I'm so excited for that. That's my first time speaking in the UK. And then next year, I'll be at New Jersey Parunity Expo, which I'm very excited about. I went last year, and it's a phenomenal event. And then I'll also be at Midwest Parafest. So all that information will be on my website, katrinaweidman.com. And then I have some other fun projects coming up that I can't say too much about. But if you guys keep up with me on social media, and that will be the best place to find out. And I'm mostly active on Instagram because I tend to enjoy that one the most. So, you know, that's probably the best way to keep up because I'll probably announce stuff there first.
Okay. So I don't use Instagram, but I just got to know. So I could start using Instagram. I just want to know this ahead of time, though. Is one of the prizes that you're going to send out a geoport?
Oh, man. So, I wish.
Because I was just going to say, because I'm not a big Instagram guy, but I could be a really big Instagram guy if one of the prizes that might be available would be a geoport.
I wish. I really wish. Maybe another year in the future.
I would make 100 different snap. I would make 100 different Instagram accounts.
Yeah.
If one of the prizes was a geoport. Final question for you, Katrina. With it being the month of October, how many times are you planning on watching Hocus Pocus?
Oh my gosh, like every weekend at least. I rotate it. See, I have like this whole rotation schedule with my Halloween movies. And I absolutely do. It's like they're all in order, and if anybody messes up the order, it's like, you know. But Hocus Pocus gets rotated like every two movies. And then I also throw in Twitches for good measure. That gets in the frequent rotation too. And if nobody's seen Twitches, you got to see Twitches because it's T and Tamara Mowry, and they are amazing. They're teen witches.
I've seen it.
It's awesome.
I have not, but I have three
daughters, so yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. It's really good, actually. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. It is good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's all the time that we have for today. I definitely, Katrina, thank you for coming on and joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I'm glad we were able to do this.
Oh, absolutely, especially with, you know, where you are right now. Just thank you very much for everything. And for Dave and myself, that's it. The Shadows Radio is coming up next. Have a good night. Have a good week.